CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the CoOptiCast. Today is Sunday, June 14th, 2009. I am Mike and I am joined by my lovely co-host Nick.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
I have had a long and busy day and, well, I haven't had much time to play games this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, this whole weekend has been pretty much shot for me, so I think I played maybe 2 hours of games total, if that.
Yeah, I'm pretty low myself, but why don't we lead off with what you have been playing?
I played a little bit of Infamous. I can't get into that game for any extended period of time. I play it for about 30 or 45 minute stints.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. I finally got far enough in the game that it changes a lot, really. I don't know how far you are. I pretty much wrote it off as a hobo killing simulator because for the first two-thirds of the game, that's pretty much all you do, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, killing hobos and dismantling crap on other people's buildings. So, I was getting kind of bored with it, but then I unlocked the third area, and a lot of the gameplay is... It's gotten more action-packed, but in a good way, and you know it does some interesting story stuff, so I've been enjoying it.
I've also been playing Raiden Fighters Aces still on my quest for high scores and achievements, and I've put like 7 hours into the damn game. Like, it keeps a timer in the game, so I can't believe I put that much time, and it was only a $20 title.
Yeah,
played a little bit of Plants vs. Zombies when I had some free time.
Is that?
Plants vs. Zombies, it's a game from PopCap.
Well, I said, how is that?
Oh, how is it? It's pretty fun. It gets a little bit repetitive. They spruce it up every level with, like, one little curveball each time to keep it fresh, but in small doses, it's fun.
Cool.
And finally, I played a bit of the 1 vs. 100 beta, which I finally got into a live show, because they have it, like, every night, but it's not always live. So right. I went in the live show last night, and that was pretty cool because the host kind of interacts with people. You can send them Twitter messages, you can send them emails. They can kind of comment on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The live show, the questions tend to be like really modern kind of stuff. Like, one of the questions was actually, it was asking about like what happened on some reality show last week or something. And I was like, well, that's cool. So you know the game's going to stay like really fresh and up to date. It seems like the prizes are going to be pretty decent for the people that get in and play. There was actually, they set a record last night with 100,000 people playing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was cool. So, like, I don't know. Do you want me to go in real quick on how it works, like the prizes and stuff? It's kind of cool.
Sure, why not?
So, the one, if you've ever seen the TV show, like, the one plays against the mob of 100 people, and after they knock out so many people with wrong answers, they go up levels of money. And every time they go up a level, they say they can basically bail out and take the money and run. So it works the same way for the online version, except instead of money, it's Microsoft points. I think it starts at like 300 Microsoft points, and the highest I've seen it get is 4,000 Microsoft points.
Good lord.
And that was with about 25 people left in the mob, so I bet it might get up to about 10,000 Microsoft points for the grand prize. But the cool thing is, there's actually a lot of prizes available because if the one person gets it wrong, and you're in the mob, and everyone in the mob splits it. So, like, last night, somebody did fail out at, like, 4,000 Microsoft points, so the 25 people left split the 4,000 Microsoft points, and they all got, like, an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So it's pretty cool. And then, like, so everyone that's not in the live game that's going on is basically either playing against their party or playing against the crowd. Like, it constantly comes up with stats of, like, who in the crowd has the highest score. It brings up stat bars of, like, how many people answered this, that, and whatever for the questions. And then it pulls, it basically, they just do as many matches as they can, and they keep pulling people from the crowd to be in the 100 or the 1. They kind of interview the 1, I guess. Like, you don't hear it going on, but the live announcer kind of talks about him, a little bit of his background or whatever, so.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's different. It's kind of, I don't know, it's pretty unique, so.
Well, it sounds fun.
Yeah, and it's free. Hey, you can't beat free, right?
Yeah, you can't beat free, especially when there's MS points involved, right?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been playing too much lately, but last week, especially after E3, all the Mass Effect 2 info that was coming out really made me go back and complain some more that I had lost my save games multiple times and I hadn't beaten the game, the first game. So I went through and played the entirety of Mass Effect and loved it. So that finally crossed off my pile of shame.
Nice.
Jason and I had been playing Dawn of War 2 cooperatively all the way through the campaign, and we finally wrapped that up, and boy, do I love that game. it's just fun till the end. The final mission is pretty epic. Aside from that, I've been playing Infamous, like I said, and getting a little further in Crackdown. I've almost cleaned out the city, so...
Yeah, I still need to co-op some of that with you. We've been meaning to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, real life and all that.
Damn you, life.
Anyway, let's move on and talk about the news. This week's big story so far has been that Halo 3 ODST will be a full-priced game. This news did come out a little bit during E3. Bungie has clarified that there was going to be, in addition to, you know, the campaign and the firefight mode, there's going to be the complete Halo 3 multiplayer experience, including all previous map packs and content pieces. So when you're dropping your 60 bones on this game, instead of it just being the ODST content, you are now getting all the Halo map packs for free if you hadn't bought them previously. So it's a little bit of a better deal. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the argument a lot of people say is the early adopters of this game are going to be people that bought the map packs already anyway.
Right.
But, I think it's a good deal. I think I only bought one of the map packs, and by the time the other ones came out, I kind of got tired of it. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to getting back into Halo. I think I'm going to try and get into it again.
Well, I can imagine that if you're playing Halo multiplayer off of the ODST disc, it'll still register as ODST, so... Achievements earned in those might go double.
Yeah, that's
double.
True. Have you seen the GameStop exclusive controller for this?
No, I have not.
It's really sexy. I might actually drop the money on it.
Nick?
It's like...
Nick?
Yeah?
You have an Xbox controller.
I know, but it's sexy.
Is it pretty?
Me. Yeah.
All right. As long as I get to see it.
Perhaps.
If I'm good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll send you a picture of it, and then you'll be like, oh, I want that too.
I'll keep that in my wallet. So it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of a better deal than initially thought. Kind of sad that it isn't a piece of downloadable content, so you could just attach to your existing Halo install. But, you know, it's a good value, I would say.
Yeah, especially if you don't have the previous content, like you said.
And speaking of value, there are a lot of angry people on the internet, especially...
Well, there's a generalization.
Yeah. But Valve, if you're paying attention to E3, Valve announced Left 4 Dead 2. And if you listened to our last podcast, the E3 special, you would have heard me get a little indignant about it. So... I wouldn't quite lump myself in with the throngs of angry people, but there were a lot of people that said, you know what, internet petitions are, they work. They totally work. Don't you agree?
They always work.
100%. They always work. So we're going to start a petition to prevent the release of Left 4 Dead 2 and focus all this stuff to be Left 4 Dead 1 content. And it'll be like Team Fortress 2 and, you know, we'll all fart rainbows and, you know, flowers will spew forth from our mouths whenever we talk. Or maybe 13,000 people just sign something to basically say, hey, look, I'm an angry nerd. what possible effect could this have?
Well, you know what? It might have actually have had an effect. Because Valve came out and said that, you know what, we're not leaving Left 4 Dead for dead.
Left 4 Dead for dead.
Yeah.
For dead. For dead. And you're right, Valve did, you know, speak up, and I believe it was Gabe Newell who said that they are still going to bring out, you know, the improvements to matchmaking and had some nebulous promises of interoperability between content from Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, whether he's referring to content created with the SDK. Remains to be seen, because they're not really saying what exactly he meant.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're working on mods for Left 4 Dead, you probably don't need to stop, and it'll work in Left 4 Dead 2. I'm going to assume that's what they mean. Anyway, the long-awaited Big Surf Island was finally released for Burnout Paradise, and everybody I know who checked it out said it's pretty great. Have you purchased it yet, Nick?
No, I don't really know if I'm going to. I was never a big fan of Burnout Paradise to begin with. I liked what they did with all their free DLC, and you know, I kind of would like to support them in this, but it'd be one of those things I play at once, and that would probably be it.
Yeah, I'm not the world's biggest Burnout Paradise fan, but I think it's really amazing how they are continually supporting this game. You know, we're what, a year and a half post release now, or even more.
Yeah, I think more than that.
Yeah, so it's quality game. You know, people are constantly kept happy, and it's I always see people on my friends list playing it. So Criterion's doing something right. And here's some big news. The 360 version of Ghostbusters that comes out this Tuesday is not going to be region-locked. And what that means for you is probably not too much. But if you live in Europe, that's huge, because Sony landed a limited exclusivity deal for the game. So it's a timed exclusive to the PlayStation. Am I correct?
I believe so, yeah.
So people in Europe who want the game day and date with the European release, or earlier, in fact, can import an American copy and play it on their PAL machines and TVs, and they can marvel at the amazing export that is Ghostbusters. So that's cool, and if you live in Europe, I'm sure that's welcome news, especially if you don't own a PlayStation 3.
Yep.
And last this week, we have the news that the Xbox Live Arcade release of the original Perfect Dark is going to retain the co-op. And there's not too much more I can say about that, because I didn't ever play the original, but it was really popular in my college dorm when it came out, so
The screenshots they released for it actually look pretty good. I guess they're actually
they're up-resing it, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a hack up-res either. They're going through and redoing some of the stuff, so.
Yep. And on that note, we're going to take a little break here, and we will return with our soapbox and some gameplay impressions of Ghostbusters the video game. Alright, and we're back from our break with this week's soapbox segment. Nick and I are going to discuss our rage at games that are coming out that plainly can have a campaign co-op. You know, we're looking at stuff like, you know, Killzone here. You know, something that it's plain as day that they could have had it, and they may have had it at one point and chopped it. Or they've added co-op to a separate mode, but the single-player mode is still really ready for multiplayer co-op in it. So, Nick, do you have any beef with this already?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Is there anyone you'd like to call out in particular?
Well, you already called out Killzone 2. that one was pretty obvious. You played through the whole thing with a partner, at least, if not a squad.
Right.
And there was no reason to cut, or not cut it, well, just not have it. I know Modern Warfare 2 coming out, that was a pretty big disappointment when we heard that one wasn't going to have campaign co-op.
Right.
And then the upcoming Ghostbusters, the video game that's coming out this week, there's no campaign co-op. And
it's just a colossal missed opportunity, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's huge, and I'll talk about it in more detail in the impressions. But I mean, basically, there's no reason the game couldn't have it. It almost feels like you're playing co-op when you play it. Like,
right.
It's like if you get downed, like you wait for the computer to come and revive you. You know, and it's just like, I don't know. It really feels... It's like, why is this not co-op again? What? So, unless... You know, I only got maybe 3 or 4 missions into it. So, I... You know, unless there's going to be the solo mission thing. that everybody likes to throw in for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see any reason why it can't have campaign co-op.
Yeah, I just think that these days, if you release a, you know, big action game like your Gears of War or your Call of Duties, it almost feels like you're obligated to include it. Like, everyone feels that they should put a big, you know, multiplayer deathmatch mode in, you know, games that don't really need it. Like, Chronicles of Riddick is a great game, and I think everyone should play it, but I there's no way I'm going to say, you know what, you should probably play the multiplayer over Call of Duty or Gears 2. You know, yeah. There's a lot of really big fish in the pond, and unless you're doing something really amazing or can offer a really pure, supported experience, I think instead of wasting resources on a, you know, hack job multiplayer mode, why don't you say, well, if our game setting would make sense to have it, instead of doing this multiplayer, why can't we just throw in a co-op mode? Yeah. Or, something team-based, like something other than your standard multiplayer mode. So, like, if you're going to develop multiplayer, do something with it. And, well, we would like to see co-op. I would like to see, you know, like developers like 2K, you know, Bioshock comes out, single-player game, marvelous, no multiplayer. And you know what? No one complained about the lack of multiplayer in that game except people who want to do nothing but complain about things. Like, and now Bioshock 2 has multiplayer. I'm going to ask why. Like, who is going to play Bioshock 2 multiplayer when they have Modern Warfare 2 sitting there staring them in the face?
Yeah.
Or Halo ODST? I mean, it's like people just don't get that people gravitate to certain games. And that if you're just going to sit there and ape what the big shots are doing, you might as well not do it.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's going to have to do something to really set itself apart somehow.
Yeah, I mean, why did Halo get such a big, strong multiplayer community? Because they actually did something with it. They, the first game, or I guess the second game is when they introduced live play.
Right.
But it was bringing, you know, competitive first-person shooter gaming to an online network on consoles for the first time. And, you know, say what you will about Halo 2's multiplayer, but they did it first. And with Halo 3, they continued it, and they supported it with, you know, map packs, and then you get your Call of Duties. Like, Call of Duty 2 probably didn't have too much multiplayer going on. I mean, I don't even remember if it had it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I don't know if it did.
You know, they released Modern Warfare, and they made a fantastic multiplayer shooter. Out of, you know, they have the tiny campaign, which is awesome, but they also spent just as much time, if not more, polishing the hell out of this multiplayer. And what we see all the damn time is people saying, well, we're gonna cut co-op, but we're really gonna have an awesome competitive multiplayer mode. And, you know, I look at when Major Nelson releases the top 10 live activity games, it's the same stuff every week.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty 4, when World at War came out, World at War started, you know, creeping in. And I'm sure Modern Warfare 2 will probably knock both of those out of the list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as I don't want to sound like I'm discouraging people from trying, because I don't want to, it's just, I feel that if you want to engage a large-scale community with multiplayer, you should make that a focus and not an auxiliary function of your single-player game.
Yeah.
And, no, you know, bringing this back to co-op, you know, Gears of War did it perfect. You know, they said, all right, well, we have our multiplayer stuff here, and we're epic, so when we're good at that, and people know we are, so they'll want to play a multiplayer. But since we're really good at multiplayer, and this game is about being with, you know, at least one other person at all times, let's just throw co-op in. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a survival horror game where isolation and lack of communication is what makes it scary. I mean, it's a, you know, like, they're, it's balls to the wall shooting. And I'm sorry, but balls to the wall shooting is all well and good, but it's 10 times more fun if you've got a buddy with you. I'm a little concerned when, you know, like a game like Uncharted 2 comes out and they say, okay, we had an awesome single player game, and now we want to have multiplayer in it. So they put multiplayer in it. And, you know, there's a cast of characters, and most of the time, in everything we've seen, Nathan is with somebody.
Yeah.
So, why not allow for the option of having a co-op player with you? I mean, you know, certainly there's a lot of there are a lot of moments in the first game where you're alone, but everything I've seen about the second game makes it look like you're with your buddies all the time, and there's a lot more action. And I just think that it'd be really great of them to include the co-op. And so they probably have a lot of stuff they haven't shown in that game where, you know, you're exploring and they want you to take your time and do whatever. So they include this side mode that has co-op. It's kind of an arcadey, inconsequential experience. Like, we played it and it's really fun, but it's just kind of, you hop into an arena and you shoot a bunch of guys, and maybe there's a, you know, something that it takes three people to lift, and you lift it and you go to the next little closed off arena. It's very similar to how Resistance 2 did it. In that, you know, it's just kind of like kill arenas, and then you know work together to progress. So, you know, you have stuff like Modern Warfare 2. We've heard about, what is it, the Special Forces modes, that was called?
Correct, and, yeah.
You know, that'll have co-op in it, but why doesn't the single-player mode? You were all, you know, with... I can't think of anything in Modern Warfare that had you go solo. I mean, even the sniper mission had you running around with a buddy.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know, I just think that some developers need to refocus their priorities, and I don't want COD anyone particular, and I'm sure I will play Uncharted 2 co-op to death and, you know, Special Forces mode to death, but it's always going to nag in the back of my mind that I could have been enjoying that campaign with somebody else.
Yeah.
And not all games are made for co-op. I also want to say that there are some games that work better as a single-player game, and that should always be. But for games where it would make sense to have co-op, when it's not there, it really stands out, especially now that it's becoming more of a popular feature.
Agreed.
Anyway, speaking of games that we may have spoken of multiple times in this podcast already, Nick managed to get his hands on a copy of Ghostbusters the video game a little bit earlier than most of us will, and I think he'd like to tell us how much better he is for having played it.
it broke my heart to have to send it off to Jim for review. it was tough to package that up and say goodbye. But I dove into both the single player and the co-op, and like we were saying, the single player, there's really no reason that I had seen in the first three or four levels that you couldn't have co-op. There's, you know, it does a little Gears of War kind of thing where, like, you know, you split up from your partner or the team and you kind of crisscross paths and stuff like that. So, and the revival thing, it feels like it's co-op, you know, the whole time. But they decided, for some reason or not, to not include it. You know, their reasoning, I think, at the time was they didn't want to have two characters for the people to deal with or whatever. It's like, let somebody control one of the original Ghostbusters.
Or skip this rookie dude and just keep everybody else. And I actually have a theory. I think they just want to make it so people don't fight over who gets to be Venkman.
Perhaps.
Who is the ultimate Ghostbuster. I'm sorry to tell everybody in that thread on our boards.
So, the thing that stands out to me for the game, as someone who grew up with the Ghostbusters and had all the little toys and stuff, and...
I did too.
You know, the little rotund packs, and you had the thing that you turned to make it look like...
You cranked it and it spun the little Nerf bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, since all the original people are involved, it really feels like, you know, the Ghostbusters are in character. There's a lot of new one-liners and stuff from Venkman. There's just a lot of good stuff. And they kind of threw back to the original two movies by bringing back some of the ghosts because of something that happens in the game. Uh-huh. So, like, almost right away you see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Nice.
And he's back, and you kind of do a thing with him, and there's Slimer right away. you head back to the library from the very first scene in Ghostbusters, and you come in contact with the librarian ghost. And they actually fill in the story of that ghost. It's actually kind of a cool story.
So does the game feel legit to you? Does it feel like instead of it simply being fan service, does it feel like there's a purpose to the game other than saying we couldn't get Ghostbusters 3 made, so let's make a game?
Yeah, you know, like I said, the story so far is actually really cool. Like, it definitely, you know, fits in with the rest of the stuff, and the stuff that, you know, Ray says in it is pretty good, with it going back and talking about, like, why some things are happening and what they are, and putting some kind of BS scientific explanation on things, you know. And it's fun that the new weapons and stuff kind of feel a little tacked on. You can pick a different kind of upgrades for the proton pack. There's a slime upgrade, an ecto slime thing, and that can be used to weaken certain ghosts. So, like, you have like a ghost appendix kind of a thing, and you can see what certain ghosts are weak against to bring them down more. So you can use different weapons against them and stuff.
Hmm.
But just the whole act of using the proton pack, weakening the ghost, grabbing it in it, and bringing it into a trap with the other people. I mean, it's spot on. It's really cool.
Cool.
So, the co-op mode leaves a little bit to be desired. There's four quote-unquote campaigns. What the campaigns really are three maps, and on each map, there's a different game type. There's one you have to, like, trap as many ghosts as you can in a set period of time. There's another one where there's, like, these little things that spawn ghosts, and you have to destroy them as quick as you can. There's one where you have to protect, like, artifacts from ghosts stealing them.
Interesting.
But anyway, so I think it kind of randomizes these on the levels. But the levels are real short, like, and small, actually. Like, the maps are basically like a little arena. And you can blow through them in 10 minutes. Like, you can blow through a campaign in, like, 10 minutes. And the only, like, persistent thing is, as you earn money for doing things in the campaign, it'll upgrade whatever weapon you're using to be a better weapon. And then, you know, if you go back and you use that character with that weapon or whatever, it stays going through the other campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, that's kind of all there is to it. Like, it's, I don't know, I was a bit disappointed. It seemed a little shallow. Again, I only got to play, like, three matches. Like, obviously, there was very few people playing.
It's probably mostly other press or people that got lucky.
Yeah, like, the two guys I got in a couple matches with, they owned a store, actually. So they had their copies from, when they got shipped to them, they just, you know, took him home. So, but yeah, I mean, single player, it's, if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, you're really going to like it. Co-op, I definitely wouldn't get it for just the co-op. So,
that's a little disappointing, but I am a diehard Ghostbusters fan, so I it sounds like I'm going to enjoy the single player.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for that, Nick. And it's a short podcast this week because, well, we had one last week, and E3 news, we already went over all that. You don't need too many recaps. And I'm sure a million other podcasts are going to be hashing out E3 news for a while now. So I just realized that I do not have the upcoming co-op release list in front of me.
Why don't you go over the site stuff and I'll pull up that.
So Nick's going to pull up the co-op release list and make up for my slacking. And I can tell you about the cool stuff we have around the site, cooptimus.com. We had reviewed the PC game Killing Floor and gave it quite a good score and a high recommendation for anybody that's a fan of, well, a good co-op experience. And reviews of the light gun. It's a light gun game, right, Nick? Ghost Squad?
Yeah. Yeah, it was it's the Wii light gun game.
Yeah, the Wii light gun game Ghost Squad. So be sure to check those out, and, you know, as always, you know, leave us comments, and we will explain our reasoning and our scores as best we can. We also have a lot of cool features on the site. First off, we have the 10 games that should have had co-op but didn't feature that Nick and Kat put together, which was pretty entertaining, and whether you agree with everything they picked or not is up to you, and there's a pretty good discussion thread going on about it, so I suggest you join in. Part 2 of Co-op Couples Rocking Out was posted, and our good friend Justin from our sister site, Colony Gamers, and I believe SpawnKill.com,
yep,
put together a hands-on preview of Fairy Tail Fights from E3, and you should check that out because we love exclusive content. Nick, what's coming out?
We got just a couple things. On the WiiWare tomorrow, actually, is Eduardo the Samurai Toaster.
Oh, best name ever.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to checking that out. We also have Guitar Hero Smash Hits this week on the 16th. And also Ghostbusters on the 16th. And those are on just about every platform, known to man, both of them.
Excellent.
And that's about it that I see coming out. There might be a arcade game or two. As always, we have to wait until the Mondays to find out. So.
Right. So anyway, if you like our podcast, please leave feedback on iTunes.
How can they not like our podcast?
Well, you know, some people... There are a lot of angry people on the internet, Nick. You know,
that's right.
People
they're going to petition against our podcast.
They're bound to hate it. They're bound to say that we're, you know, biased against, you know, the PlayStation 3 or the PS... or the PS3 or something. The PS3, you know, I can talk with a list. Maybe they will be with us until this moment, and then I flubbed a line and spoke in a lisp, and they'll say, you know what, that Mike guy's got to go. 0 stars. In any case, however you feel about our podcast, although if you don't like us, maybe you just don't want to worry about the iTunes thing, leave us feedback. It helps us, you know, do a better job. Post on the forums. We have dedicated podcast forums for you to critique everything we say or do. We also have a Twitter account that Nick runs dutifully and gives away stuff from time to time. It's Co-Optimus without the dash. And have we donated anything to our readership lately, Nick, over the Twitter account?
No, but I have a couple codes I want to give out that I will be very soon. Some map pack codes for Call of Duty World at War. And I just got a code for something else I wanted to give out.
Cool.
But yeah, definitely keep an eye on Twitter.
All right, so follow us on Twitter, leave us feedback, post in the forums, tell us how great we are. I'm Mike. That was also Nick. Have a good week. We'll see you in a fortnight. Shout out.